years from now, will you still be sending me a Valentine? Birthday greetings, bottle of wine. If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
On Monday afternoon. Welcome to another edition of the Lunch Special here on KZSU. I'm your host, Bird. And today, joined by one of those senior Olympians. John Gislin is our guest today from the Senior Olympics. And I guess you guys just had your event this weekend on campus, didn't you?
We just had the Bay Area Senior Games on the Stanford campus this weekend. And in spite of the weather, we all had a great time.
We were talking just before the show, I drove through here yesterday. I was out driving around in the weather yesterday. And you guys did it in the rain, huh?
Well, luckily, I'm a swimmer, so we were sort of used to the water. But those track and field people and the soccer people, they had a little bit of a new experience, I think.
I'll bet. So, John, I want to introduce you correctly. Besides being part of the Stanford Master Swimming organization, you're a Stanford Master Swimmer, and that's a whole thing we're going to have to get into that's separate from the Stanford, from the Senior Olympics. You're a Senior Olympic athlete. You're a community outreach director for the Bay Area Senior Games. And last year, you and your wife were Olympic torchbearers for the National Senior Games.
That's right. Last year was the first time the National Senior Games were on the West Coast. And my wife Beth and I were lucky enough to be chosen to actually run the torch up and light the cauldron at the Senior Games.
Wow.
What a thrill.
That must have been. Now, you live locally in the area, right?
We live in Palo Alto. We've lived here since 1997, and as my wife says, she's never going to leave Palo Alto.
A lot of people say that when they move here, and a lot of people do stick around, for sure. Speak a little bit about this whole senior game thing. How did it get started? How did you get involved in it, and what's it all about?
Well, the Senior Games, I think, are a remarkable effort by a community of people to promote healthy aging, active fitness, and really help people make the most of their lives. It's one of the missing components in today's healthcare debate, what people can do individually on their own to maintain their health and vigor. Mm-hmm. And the National Senior Games provide athletes a model for doing that, just that. So for Beth and I, we weren't aware of the Senior Games 2 years ago. We found out about the National Games coming to California in 2009, and we scrambled to qualify, because for the National Games, you must qualify at a state game. So we had missed the California events, so we jumped on a plane, flew to Nevada, and we're lucky enough to qualify for the National Senior Games at that Nevada State event.
Now, you're a swimmer. What is your wife?
My wife is track and field. She's been a marathoner for a long time, but with some cartilage deterioration, she decided she better do some of those sprints, and she did it very well. So Beth and I competed in the National Games here at Stanford last summer. There were 10,000 athletes competing in 24 sports. So it's the largest multi-sport event for people 50 and over in the world. So 10,000 athletes, 20,000 visitors to Palo Alto, and 2,000 volunteers supporting the games. It was a great time for 2 weeks.
That's amazing. And the event yesterday was obviously much shorter. Was that just a regional event, a state event?
It's a regional. In California in 2010, there are going to be 8 regional events and 1 state game. And yesterday and the day before were the 4th Bay Area Senior Games to be held at Stanford.
And this process goes on, what, over the year and then working up to the national?
Right. So the regional games are held every year, the state games every other year on the even number of years, and the national games every other year on the odd number of years.
Oh, so it's every 2 years?
So it's every 2 years for the national games, right. But the regional games like ours here in the Bay Area are held every year.
And is that just like a 2-day event, 3-day over a weekend?
Primarily a 2-day event. There's still some lawn bowling and other events going on through Wednesday of this week, but most of the events are concentrated on the weekend, and most run the Stanford campus.
And how old do you have to be to get involved in the senior games?
You have to be 50-plus, and I tell you, when you tell someone 50 years old that they're a senior, you get different reactions. Some people don't like to be called a senior at 50. But once they get used to it and realize that it gives them an opportunity to compete and show the world what they can do at this age, they seem to come around.
Yeah. Do they say 50's the new 30?
Yes, we do say that sometimes, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, 50. I know some 50-year-olds who... They're getting AARP stuff in the mail and
exactly.
Kind of freaking out, sending it back on. What are you doing mailing me this stuff? What's going on here? John Gislin is our guest for the hour today, a senior Olympian and also community outreach director for the Bay Area Senior Games. So what does that entail, your role as community outreach director? What do you do for that?
So an event like a senior games event for the Bay Area or other state or regional games, you definitely need the support of the community to make it happen and make it successful. So we reach out to local organizations that want to be involved as sponsors, for example. So Stanford Hospital was a major sponsor of the national games last year.
Mm-hmm.
Del Monte Foods is a major sponsor. In fact, they sponsored the Health and Peak Performance Conference, which was part of our event this year at the Bay Area Senior Games, and I'll tell you about that in a minute. And other local community organizations that provide volunteers, like Avenidas, for example, a senior center, help us with volunteers for these games. And other companies and organizations provide sponsorships.
Probably really gets a lot of people active that might not normally do that kind of stuff, huh?
I'll tell you, it's just amazing. I'll tell you one story about this weekend. I was in the office helping swimmers register, and we got a registration from an 85-year-old woman from Palo Alto.
Mm-hmm.
So that was great. She's going to swim in the 50 free. And then I got an email, and she said, oh, I don't think I can do this. My coach says maybe I'm not ready. I think I have to not come. So I emailed her back and said, I respect your coach, but please, you know, think about this. This is a chance to swim in the Stanford Stadium pool before an audience and compete with people your own age. You're going to be cheered the whole way, especially the older swimmers. They get thunderous applause when they come to the finish line. Everyone is supporting you. You can probably do this. Bring your suit and let's see what happens. So this lady appeared at the games this weekend, walked out of the changing room in a fluffy pink bathrobe and a nice swim cap with a little chin strap underneath,
uh-huh.
Jumped in the pool, swam the race, and walked away with a gold medal.
Really? Wow.
Inspiring. That's why I go to these games. I get inspired by these athletes.
Yeah, and speak about the aging of America, because America is America getting older?
Well, sure, you read the demographic numbers from getting older, and particularly because I'm a baby boomer, I think about that generation, you know, born from 1946 to 64,
mm-hmm.
And there is an estimated 76 million of us out there.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah, we're a big number, and we tend to want attention, and we tend to think of ourselves as not growing older. In fact, when you ask boomers, when does old age start, the median response is 79.5 years.
Or when they put me in the ground.
You know, or when you ask, what's an old person, people will say, someone 10 years older than me.
Yeah. John Gislin, our guest for the hour, and community outreach director for the Bay Area Games. If some seniors are listening, either on the internet or right off the antenna, and wanted to get involved in the senior games where they're at, where they are, how would they do that?
The easiest way to do that is to go to our website, which is just www.bayareaseniorgames.org.
Mm-hmm.
On the site, you'll find information about the games themselves, about the history of the games, and you'll also find training advice. It'll give you resources, so if you want to become a soccer player or a swimmer or a track athlete, it'll tell you where to find resources to help you train.
Great. Well, you have brought some music today. You picked the Beatles, When I'm 64, and you're not quite there yet.
Not quite.
And next up, I think we have something by either Rod Stewart or Mickey Thomas, something you picked. And this is a why did you pick this particular tune?
So is this the Rod Stewart one coming up?
Is it the Rod Stewart one coming up? Rod Stewart.
Okay, because, boomers don't want to view themselves as aging. So this song, Forever Young, says our message loud and clear that we're going to be active and involved and engaged as long as we possibly can.
Great. Here it is, Rod Stewart with Forever Young. Rod Stewart with Forever Young, here with today's guest, Senior Olympian, local Senior Olympian, John Gislin. And, Rod's like up there. A lot of people don't, a lot of us that grew up with him don't think of him as old, but I bet Rod's 70.
You think?
Well, yeah, he was in his 30s in the late 60s, or, well, 20s in the late 60s.
He looks pretty good.
Something scared the hell out of me last week. And, you know, a lot of us in American society relate to things in life according to the movies, right? And they were doing birthdays on one of the NPR shows, and they said, Ally McGraw just turned 72. Yeah, I know. See, you're looking at me funny, too, because we all remember Ally McGraw as the very young Steve McQueen's wife. They did the movie The Getaway together. They were like kids. And I remember that movie. Ally McGraw is 72. That scared the hell out of me, because if she's 72, I'm an old man. Anyway, John, great pick on the tune there. You not only are involved in the community outreach and also the organizing of it, but you wrote a piece last year that appeared in the local paper.
I did. I was so inspired by these 10,000 seniors. I tell you, the camaraderie and the mutual support you got at these games was just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So I was so inspired by the swimmers that I swam with that I wrote a little piece that was published in the Palo Alto Daily, and the title is Lessons from 500 Naked Old Men.
Oh! Why don't you go ahead and read that?
Okay. 10,000 senior athletes, age 50-plus, recently congregated for the 2009 National Senior Games in my hometown of Palo Alto. And at 59, I was a first-time competitor in the swimming events. A few of the roughly 500 men competing in swimming were Olympians, national and or collegiate record holders, and elite athletes. But more of us were average Joes who love to swim and make a serious effort to stay fit as we age. Some of the men had their adult children supporting them on the pool deck because they were hard of hearing or unsteady on their feet or even in a wheelchair. But put them in the pool and all those issues melted away. They became focused athletes with a purpose, to finish the race with a PR, a personal record. We all have heard about the many benefits of regular exercise, and for me, swimming is the right sport because it works the entire body and puts minimal strain on the joints. And swimming is a sport you can compete in well into your 90s, as evidenced by the number of 80 and 90-year-old athletes at these games. The applause for these athletes 80-plus thundered with every race. After the race in the locker room, I came face-to-face with current reflections of my body at 59, and how it might look over the next decades. Yes, there was thinning hair, flattened butts, and sagging flesh, but there was also muscle, determination, and grace. In the showers with 500 naked old men, I have never felt more like I was with my brothers and best friends. Men I did not know a minute ago would easily come up and ask for help unzipping their racing suits. There was no embarrassment or awkwardness. Just lots of laughs about missing the turns or doing a belly flop off the starting block, and congratulations for a solid race performance. In the pool, I felt the excitement of competing, but in the locker room, I felt the camaraderie and support of my clan. What lessons did I learn from my fellow old men? First, I am 59, and my body does not look or work like it did at 30. Get over it. Better still, embrace it and celebrate what you have today. Second, if you work at it and have a reasonable amount of luck, your body can look strong and healthy and perform amazing feats at any age. And third, aging brings new challenges, but few you cannot handle with effort and the support of your fellow old men.
John Gislin, and that was published in the Palo Alto Daily last year, huh?
August, after the games, yeah.
That's very poignant, and it got me to thinking about aging in this country. And it's funny because if you look at Hollywood, it's all geared for the young. And the older I get, it seems that the movies are made by younger and younger people. They look like children now. And they're kids, and I know they're kids in their 20s, but man, they look like, and all these hit movies are all about kids. And there is a kind of a non-emphasis on folks who are older in this country, aren't there, as far as media goes and entertainment and Hollywood and that kind of stuff?
I think that's true, but I think some of these marketing efforts are missing the target because with a 76 million count of boomers in this country, that's a large market. And boomers are not one to go quietly into the dark. Boomers are going to go out with a scream and a yell and kicking, and they're going to have fun to the end of their days.
Sure. And the boomer thing is interesting because there has been a move afoot to hire boomers lately. I see a lot of folks who would normally be retired. Part of it is that they're out of work, but part of it is that the companies realize the benefits of... they say old age and treachery will always win out over youth and exuberance, right?
Well, people in their boomers in the 50s and 60s have a wealth of experience, and they're still fit, and their minds are solid, and they can do lots of terrific work if given the chance.
Yeah, definitely. John Gislin, our guest, local community outreach director for the Bay Area Senior Games, also senior Olympian, swimmer, and... In the next half hour, we're going to get into the Stanford Master Swimming Program. But right now, what we have queued up is a documentary. And actually, the lady that put this together is going to be our guest next week, Miss Dorothy Fadiman. She's a local. She wouldn't like to be called a senior citizen, but she's a boomer. And she's a film documentarian, made many of them. And she's got a new one called Shattering the Myth of Aging. And we have a piece here, and you want to set this up, John?
Yeah, so Dorothy Fadiman is an Oscar-nominated Emmy Award-winning filmmaker who is local, and she had the idea to film this senior athlete and tell his story. And it's really the story of all senior athletes, because it's about how this man became involved in senior athleticism and how it changed his life. And it really touches on all points. It touches on the anxiety, on the fear, on the fatigue, on the stress, on the joy, all of it. It really wraps up in a short 8-minute film what it's like to be a senior Olympic athlete.
Let's check it out right here. This is a new film by Dorothy Fadiman. She'll be our guest next week, by the way, too.
I'm Ron Chilton, and I made a decision about 14 years ago that completely changed my life. When I tell people that I am a senior Olympic gold medalist, I think there's a sense of disbelief. Certainly when I tell them that I'm 74 years old, they say, what do you participate in, badminton or horseshoes? I was always interested in sports as a spectator, but never really been involved until I became a senior citizen. I was usually the last one to be picked. I'm sure many other young boys, young girls have lived through the same situation. Never got a chance to play any varsity sports except one, and that was basketball. But on a 12-man team, I was about the 12th man. When I started thinking about retirement 14 years ago, it occurred to me, what would I be doing? So I started thinking about what might be available. Well, I did a little research on the internet and found the Senior Olympic Games. Not only do they have local games, but regional games, statewide Olympic games, and the national senior games. So I started training. The transformation that I'm talking about was really almost a metamorphosis. I have discovered a deep resolve, an inner strength that I didn't realize that I had. Thank you. The only requirements for participating in the senior games is to reach the age of 50. I started participating in the Kentucky State Senior Games. This is the first year that they will be held in Paducah.
There's Howard Hall, my hero. Hey, you doing, pal?
Howard Hall from Frankfort, Kentucky, competing in the Kentucky State Senior Games. If you want to use this, go ahead and show it to everybody.
Well, tomorrow will be a real challenge. 12 events in one day. As far as they know, that has never been attempted before.
Because you and I enter everything, you know that. We try a little bit of everything. That ought to do it, huh?
In the senior games, we compete in incremental categories of 5 years each, starting at 50 to 54, 55 to 59, so on.
And this guy here, you know, he's been around for...
I'm the senior citizen.
You are? Well, you and Howard Hall.
Yeah, I'm 90.
You're, well, you are. You told me you were approaching your 90. I'm telling you. Well, you told me. You told me.
I love these people.
I can't do it.
I've made so many friends since I have become a competitor. And it's such a joy to see them year after year. And we all cheer for one another.
One command start.
Just before a competition, several emotions come into play. First of all, anticipation. Who will my competitors be? How strong will they be? Do I know them? This is the first time that I've competed against them. And then there is a certain anxiety right before the gun goes off. But once that gun fires, we seem to go into another zone. I've seen some amazing things. I recall seeing a 97-year-old man set a world record in the 100-meter dash. Everybody was brought to tears. There was another example of an 88-year-old woman who had entered the 400 meters one time around the track, and it became evident that she was blind. And her 65-year-old daughter held her hand all the way around the track. An 89-year-old man, his knees had completely given out. They allowed him to take a walker with wheels, and he rolled himself around the track. And he fell three times, and three times he got up, and he finished the race. A lot of doctors do not recommend that seniors take up running. If you've never been a runner before, they would rather you start out walking or cycling because it can be detrimental to your joints. There were times when I started this lifestyle and this particularly the regimen of training that I thought, why am I doing this, pushing myself at this age? And thought about, I can do something else. It's not quite as taxing. But I feel better. I have more strength, stamina, better balance. Aging is more due to inactivity. These people are marvelous in their dedication and in their accomplishments.
It's a brand new documentary produced by next week's guest, my producer tells me, Miss Dorothy Fadiman. Dorothy helped us out last year with the voting catastrophe, 2008, actually 2 years ago. And this new documentary, and each participant at the Senior Games got a copy of this. John, why don't you go ahead and tell us what the name of this documentary is, because it's a nice little DVD that everybody got a copy of.
All right. The title is Shattering the Myth of Aging. Senior Games Celebrate Healthy Lifestyles, Competition, and Community. And Ron Chilton, the athlete featured in this documentary, really represents all senior athletes. He's a bit exceptional in that he's won over 240 medals in senior games over the years. But he represents all of us because in one of his quotes, he says, "I have discovered an inner strength that I didn't realize I had." And that's what almost any senior athlete can discover by participating in their local, regional, state, or national senior games.
Mm-hmm. And John, let's get into you a little bit. You were born in Nova Scotia, Canada.
That's right.
And you had a very interesting story about dual citizenship because your folks moved to New England when you were a young kid.
Yeah, we moved to the Boston area when I was about two. And of course, they wanted to become citizens so they could stay in the country and have the work permits required, etc. So when you're a minor, you become a citizen automatically on your parents' coattails. But at the time, I had to give up Canadian citizenship to gain U.S. citizenship.
That's an American rule.
Well, both countries had that rule at the time.
They did.
But at the time. However, Canada has now changed the rules, and about a year ago, I read about this on the web, and it said, if you lost your Canadian citizenship because of emigrating to the U.S. and you became a U.S. citizen as a minor, you can apply to get it back.
Did you?
And I did.
And now you got health care.
I'm Canadian for the second time.
Now you got health care.
And I've got health care, yes.
Have you gone up to use it?
I have not done so yet, but we're going this summer. We think maybe that'd be a nice place to retire.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Yeah, well, from here, you just go straight up to Vancouver.
Not
you're
that
there.
That far, yeah.
Yeah, they just had the Winter Olympics there, didn't they?
I did. They had a great time, too.
You went to Colby College in Maine.
Right.
And studied economics and French.
Yeah, yeah.
And what made you end up picking economics and French?
Well, I had a business head from a young age, and I wanted to understand more about the principles behind it. And economics seemed like the most best way to get a thorough grounding in it.
Uh-huh.
So I did that. But that, I also have this little bit of artistic bent, and I was fascinated by French. My dad grew up speaking some French in Canada.
Oh, French-Canadian, right.
He would
right.
give me some phrases once in a while, and I would just be intrigued by it. So when I went to Colby, I studied French in high school, and I went there, and they started the junior year abroad program. So I got to go spend my junior year in France, and that was another great time, and that inspired me to continue and make sure I had a major in French as well.
How long did you spend in France?
I spent a school year there when I was an undergraduate, and then I went to grad school and got a master's in French and got a fellowship to go back and spend a second year teaching English in a French high school.
How was that?
That was also great fun because you really got to feel like you were a Frenchman living the French lifestyle for a while.
And what does it mean to live the French lifestyle?
Well, you know, there's lots of images about what a French lifestyle is like, but and many of them are true. They have great food, you know. They take their time doing some things, and the country is absolutely spectacular.
I just saw that movie Julie and Julia.
Oh, yes.
Over the weekend,
yeah.
And that's all about French food.
Exactly.
In fact,
yeah.
You got to be eating when you see that movie. And it's just like that. And I never realized how intriguing French food could be. It's amazing. John Gislin is our guest today, senior Olympian here right on the peninsula. You went to Penn State and got a master's in French. And then you went to teach high school French and Latin in Massachusetts.
I did. I did that for 3 years. And then I decided that the computer revolution was going to pass me by unless I got involved quickly. So I just took some courses at night and got myself a job at Digital Equipment Corporation, or DEC, as it's commonly called.
Uh-huh. In Massachusetts.
In Massachusetts at the headquarters in Maynard, Massachusetts at the old mill building.
So you quit teaching.
Just
blew
yeah.
teaching off and went, hey, I got
to
go over here.
I wanted to try something new. That whole thing about trying something new, I think it's a sort of a impulse of our baby boomer generation.
Sure. And what year was that you got into the high-tech boom?
That was about 1980, I think it was.
That was early on, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, fairly early, yeah.
It hadn't really exploded yet or even started to take off in a big way.
Well, DEC was a revolutionary company back then with their VMS operating system and their VAX computers. That was the, you know, a revolution at the time, mini computers, yeah.
And you didn't miss teaching at all?
I did miss teaching. I thought I enjoy teaching very much. I enjoy that interaction. I enjoy seeing people make progress. You know, but I can now I can support some of my fellow senior athletes and see them make progress too. So.
Oh, cool! You found a role to use your teaching skills.
Yeah.
And then, how did you make it here from Massachusetts as part of that high tech thing?
Well, I was fortunate enough to have a job that took me around the country for work. So I would fly into Silicon Valley in the middle of winter and step out of the plane. It would be bright sunshine. It would be 60 degrees. And I said, what's wrong with this picture? And what was wrong was I wasn't here.
Yeah.
So I quickly decided that was the place for me. I quit my job, moved out here, found another job in high tech. At that time, it was pretty easy to find a new job in the technology industry.
Yeah.
And never looked back.
And you've been here ever since 1982, huh?
Right.
Wow. And how did that go for you with this, with the high-tech stuff?
High-tech, well, a 25 years career based here in California in the high-tech industry was a great pleasure. And then about a little over a year and a quarter ago, there was that big drop in the market, and I was one of the 15 million Americans that got laid off and have not found new work yet, but I'm taking advantage of this time to develop new skills, become a better athlete, a better person, I hope.
Very good. Who did you work for in the time you were out here working in the high-tech industry?
I worked for Sun Microsystems for a long time. I did their Asian channels development and also opened up the former Soviet Union for them for channels. Spent a year opening up the office in South Africa. So, you know, I had
no French stuff.
I had no French stuff, but I had some great assignments.
That's great. Did a lot of traveling, it sounds like.
A lot of traveling, yeah. And that's a bug that both my wife and I share now. We love to go off to remote places and see parts of the world that are very different from where we live.
That's really nice. It's that's one of the upsides to living in America, isn't it?
Absolutely.
John Gislin, our guest today for the hour. And we've got another song that you picked out. And I do believe this is going to be the Mickey Thomas song.
All right. If I could set this one up for you and
tell
you a little bit about it. Last year, the National Senior Games were at Stanford, as I told you, and the head of the local committee is Ann Warner Cribbs. Now, Ann is a Stanford alumna and a 1960 Olympian gold medal swimmer.
Whoa!
She's quite an amazing woman. She runs the Bay Area Sports Organizing Committee, the group that's trying to bring the 2012 Olympics here. She's the president of the Bay Area Senior Games, and she's the chair of the California State Senior Games.
Mm.
So her mission is to get more and more people involved in these senior games. In fact, the vision that she's now promoting is to have a senior games happen every year in each of the 58 counties in California.
Wow.
So, you know, with some 10 million seniors, 10 million people over 50 in California today, so a lot of people that would be eligible to compete and would benefit from the competition and the camaraderie and the training and the exercise that senior games offer.
Mm-hmm.
And Ann is working very hard to get those games in every county within the next 5 years.
That is great. Speaking of swimming, I did want to touch on another one of your. As if you're not busy enough with all this other stuff, you're part of the Stanford Master Swimming Program.
Right.
Speak about that a little bit. And I don't think a lot of people know about it. I didn't know about it until you mentioned it.
Well, that's my local support group. The Stanford Masters is coached by Tim Edmonds, and there are, I think, almost 1,000 people in the program. So every morning of the week at 5:20 a.m. or 6 a.m. or late on Sunday, 7 a.m., there are 50 to 100 people in that pool doing Tim's workout.
Wow.
And some of them do it again at noontime, and some of them do it again in the evening.
Wow.
So these, you know, Stanford is a swimming powerhouse in the collegiate world.
Is it?
With Skip Kenny as the coach, absolutely. And a lot of those people come back here to swim, so there are lots of national champions, collegiate champions, Olympic swimmers in this pool with me.
Huh.
So I'm way at one end, the Olympians are way at the other, but we're in the same pool, so I feel privileged to be there. And I tell you, I swim in a lane with people who are just great. I get so much support, so much encouragement. You know, there are days when I wake up at 5 to go swimming and I don't want to go. And I think if I don't go, I'm letting down my lane mates. So I drag myself out of bed and get there.
Wow. And this is year round, huh?
Year round. You know, once you're in the water, it doesn't matter. You're the same temperature. It's fine. In the winter, you swim. You get in the pool and it's dark. And by the time you get out, the sun's coming up. And you're really ready to start your day.
And they say too, swimming is the most low impact of all exercises. It doesn't put any impact on any of your body parts at all.
No, it works your entire body too. You have to have strong core, strong arms, strong legs. It's the great exercise. I tell you, there are so many doctors in this pool with me because they understand the benefits of swimming.
Mm-hmm. A lot better than running. Yeah. Even biking. Biking, you can get run over by a car.
That's true.
You can't get run over by a car in a swimming pool because cars don't go in swimming pools. Well, let's play this song now, this one you picked up, Mickey Thomas.
So let me tell you one more thing. So Anne, when she ran these first California National Senior Games, had lots of innovative ideas to make them more relevant and more fun. So among those was to contract with a local design firm, IDEO, to create the first solar-powered Olympic torch and cauldron.
Wow.
So we have this great torch made out of 100-plus-year-old redwood that's powered by solar energy that ran from San Francisco down to the Bay Area, came to Palo Alto City Hall, and lit the cauldron there.
Oh, man.
And it's inspiring. And these were also the greenest games ever. All the athletes got stainless steel water bottles, so there'd be no throwaway plastic water bottles.
Good.
Lots of recycling. They made so many innovations to make these games better in so many ways. And among them was the celebration of athletes. And so they commissioned a song. The whole celebration was put on by E2K Productions. And Michael Olmsted, the head of that organization, wrote a song and convinced Mickey Thomas of Jefferson Starship, Jefferson Airplane, to sing the song. He came to the celebration and sang the song live for 10,000 senior athletes.
Wow. And we got it right now.
We have Long Live the Challenge.
Let's go ahead and hear Mickey Thomas, the famous Bay Area singer, fooled around and fell in love. Mickey Thomas right there with a especially commissioned song for the senior games. and here today with our guest, John Gislin. And who wrote that song, John?
Michael Olmsted. He's the head of E2K Productions. They produce major sporting events like the NFL football events and other big events around the world, and they did the Celebration of Athletes for the 2009 National Senior Games.
All right. You guys better not get too good, man. The military might come looking at you and want to enlist you to go help their efforts overseas. They're looking for a lot of volunteers, man. You and your wife were torchbearers at the national games last year and lit the actual...
The cauldron, yes.
Yeah. That's Speak right. about that a little bit.
Well, we had volunteered in the National Senior Games office early in the year, helping them do anything, you know, run errands, coordinate email lists, do whatever they wanted us to do. And as they got to know us a little more, they thought that we were, in a way, sort of the model couple for senior games, because we were two people in our late 50s, both fit, both enjoy exercising, and we're engaged in the community doing other volunteer efforts. Mm-hmm. And Ann Cribbs asked us if we would be willing to run the torch the last little bit and light the cauldron at Palo Alto City Hall. And we were, of course, honored and thrilled to do that. And it was great fun, because Jennifer Azey, the Stanford basketball star, was the last one to run the torch up to us, handed us off at City Hall Plaza, and we got to light the cauldron. And then we got to hold the torch up there for half an hour while people took our picture. So
wow.
That was really a great honor.
I'll bet. Speak just from your unique perspective, John, as a senior athlete, a senior American, a senior Canadian, because you got the dual citizenship now, a swimmer, a senior swimmer. Speak to folks that would be listening right now that you know, might be sitting at home going, I could never do that, man. I don't even want to get involved in something like that. What speak about how it's changed your life, what it's done for you, the benefits you got from it, and how you were before you got involved. Because I know there was a time in your life when you weren't involved in this, right?
That's right. I always liked to be fit, but I was never, didn't have the competitive bug the way some people do. And I didn't understand the benefits that competitive sports can bring. And I think I've grown to have a much better understanding of what being in that environment can deliver to an individual. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think Ron Chilton said it well, that, you know, he discovered an inner strength that he didn't realize he had. And I think I found something like that in myself, too. I can now, if I get up and I'm tired and I think, I don't want to do this job, or I don't want to go swim this morning, I tell myself, look, you know, you've done this, you know you can do it, and you'll be happier after you finish doing it. So just get up and do it. Don't waste any time. And, you know, I think baby boomers, at least from my perspective, like to try things, like to try new things, like to keep themselves active and engaged and be innovative. And trying sports, different sports if you want to start a new one, are a great way to do that.
Mm-hmm. What was your life like before you got involved with the senior games as far as exercise went? You said you like to stay in shape, but what was it like?
I exercised, but, you know, I didn't have that commitment to do it on a regular basis. And if you want to be a competitive athlete, no matter how talented you are, you have to have a pretty rigorous training regime.
Mm-hmm.
There are a few people that can just, you know, walk onto the track and field and win a race without having trained for it consistently over a period of time. And with swimming, it's certainly true, because swimming is a very technique-oriented sport, and you have to have endurance, but you also have to have good technique, and mine is still developing. And hopefully we'll get better for years to come. Hopefully those times will drop for years to come.
And what was it that, was it your wife? Was it something you saw on TV? Were you listening to a radio show? What was it that sparked whatever happened in your life to flip you over from that person that just liked to exercise a little bit to getting involved in these senior games?
You know, I think my wife and I have this uncanny connection that we both happened to read the article at different times about the senior games, the National Senior Games coming to Palo Alto, and, you know, turned to each other and said, we have to do that. We just knew from reading about it that we had to do it. It was an opportunity that was put right in front of us. We could not let it go by without taking advantage of it.
So a lot of it had to do with it was coming to your neighborhood, and you both read this article and just went, no, let's go get involved.
Yeah, we changed vacation plans. We changed lots of things to be able to get the chance to qualify, and then we were committed at that point. We were just going to do the games no matter what happens.
Mm-hmm. And you tell a really interesting story as we were preparing for the show about the fact that when you guys decided, it was already after the qualifying rounds here in your local area, so you had to figure out where you had to go to qualify to get in the Nationals to participate here at Stanford last year. And how did that process take place?
That's exactly right. We decided, I think it was late August, and we read about the games and found out they were coming to Palo Alto. We quickly looked up on the web to find out where the games were in California, and we had missed the state games, the qualifying event for the National Games.
Uh-oh.
So, you know, our faces dropped, and we said, there's got to be a way to do this. So we quickly looked at all the other states to find out where the games were still to be held. And lucky enough, Nevada, close by, had state games coming up in October. So we said, that's it, we're going. We booked plane tickets, jumped on a plane, and our events were the same day at different locations outside of Las Vegas, so we didn't get to see each other compete. But we both competed over that weekend, and we're very fortunate to both qualify.
And it was okay to go to Nevada to qualify to participate here.
Most states allow out-of-state people to compete in their state games. There are a few exceptions, but most allow that, yes.
Interesting. And are the senior games in every state?
Yes. Yeah.
So anybody listening anywhere in the United States can find senior games in their states.
All right. Many will have regional games and state games both.
And what would they go on the web, on the internet, to find that out? Just senior games?
They can look up the governing body for the National Games is NSGA.com, National Senior Games Association.com.
Okay.
And that will have links to all the state games.
And what advice would you give to somebody on how to approach this as far as, say they've never done this before, you know, and they're still sitting at home going, yeah, I know, I hear what you're saying, man, it changed your life and it's real good and all that, but I ain't doing it. I just ain't doing it. What kind of advice would you give somebody? Go see it, go online and watch some videos, ask somebody who participated in it. What should somebody do?
The best advice would be go see it. Last year at the National Games, we had 2,000 local volunteers coming to watch these games. And I can't tell you the number of people my age came up to me afterwards and said, next year I'm doing this. They saw the fun, the camaraderie, the joy that people had in competing. And we also had about, I don't know, 500 high school volunteers.
Wow.
And so I went up and started asking them, well, what do you think about seniors? And how was this your impression of seniors that can do these things? And they were shocked. They literally said, I can't believe these are elite athletes. You know, I couldn't keep up with them. I don't believe they can swim this fast or run this fast or play tennis that well. And they also said things like, you know, I don't get to talk to seniors very much. This is something new for me, and I'm learning something.
Very interesting. John Gislin, you've been our guest today, and I really appreciate everything you said and all your hard work. And I want to wish you all the best with the senior games and the Stanford Master Swimming class. And I hope you go on to win that gold medal.
I'm keep trying till I do.
There you go. And do stay in touch and keep us up on your progress, okay?
Thank you, Bert.
We're going to go out with Del McCrory doing that great Beatles song, When I'm 64. And once again, thanks to all the seniors that participated in these games.
When I get older, losing my hair, you still be sending me a valentine, birthday greetings, bottle of wine. If I've been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64? You. be handy mending a fuse when your lights have gone. You can knit a sweater by the fireside. Sunday mornings go for a ride. Doing a garden, digging the weeds. Who could ask for more? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64? Every summer we can rent a cottage in the Isle of Wight if it's not too deep. We shall scrimp and save. Grandchildren on your knee. Vera, Chuck, and Dave. Send me a postcard, drop me a line, stating point of view. Indicate precisely what you mean to say. You sincerely wasting away. Give me your answer, fill in a form. My